Hey, it's Latif from Radiolab. Our goal with each episode is to make you think, how did I live this long and not know that? Radiolab, adventures on the edge of what we think we know. Listen wherever you get podcasts.
Today's podcast of The Takeaway is made possible by Liberty Mutual's Responsibility Project, encouraging discussion about what it means to do the right thing. ResponsibilityProject.com.
Pentagon spokesman Jeff Morrell has good things to report from Marja in Afghanistan.
The Taliban is clearly being squeezed by our forces, coalition forces, Afghan forces in Afghanistan, being squeezed by Pakistani military and intelligence forces.
After all, Pakistani military operatives captured Mullah Abdul Ghani Baradar, the Taliban's second-in-command. Signs of a new cooperation between the U.S. and a Pakistani security apparatus reluctant to help. Or maybe not. New reports say it wasn't great intelligence that captured Baradar. Pakistani forces just stumbled on him. In other words, it was luck. We got lucky when we found him. Now we're trying to give Marja a new government and win a war. And that will take a lot more than luck. It's The Takeaway.
All across America, this is The Takeaway with John Hockenberry and Celeste Headlee from Public Radio International and WNYC.
Good morning. It's Friday, February 19th. I'm Todd Zwillick, filling in for John Hockenberry, and I'm here with Celeste. The takeaway for me on the capture of Baradar is we took it early as a sign of new cooperation between the ISI, the Pakistani intel forces, and us. It turns out that if it's just luck, it may not have been quite as beneficial as we thought in the big picture.
But when you analyze pretty much any major military victory of a certain sort,
it's about luck.
It's always about
right.
Luck. Let's get right to the top stories we're following this morning. The latest on the Afghan offensive in Marja, now in its seventh day. At dawn this morning, U.S. helicopters dropped an elite team of Marines behind Taliban lines. It's part of an effort to break the resistance, which has intensified in parts of the city. NATO says six service members were killed yesterday alone. British Major General Nick Carter, the commando of NATO forces in southern Afghanistan, says it'll be a while before the offensive can be called a complete success.
I guess it will take us another 25 to 30 days to be entirely sure that we have secured that which needs to be secured.
A U.S. general says NATO troops now control the main roads and the markets in town.
We're also getting new details about the arrest of the Afghan Taliban's military commander, Mullah Baradar. Our partner, The New York Times, is reporting Baradar was not the target in the raid in which he was captured. U.S. officials are calling it a lucky accident. For more on the latest story, we're joined now by New York Times correspondent Rod Nordland in Kabul. Rod, we've got Baradar captured. Apparently there were talks going on in the Maldives between the Taliban and the Afghan government. These seem to be signs that there might be an endgame developing, or am I getting ahead of us here in Afghanistan?
I think a lucky accident is not an endgame. And, you know, I think they would like to see this push toward an endgame. But Marja is a pretty indecisive encounter. And the only way it will be decisive is after several months, they succeed in reestablishing government and services there and make Marja a place that won't fall back in Taliban hands the minute we pull out our troops.
Okay, Marja, an indecisive encounter, and yet we have reports that the Taliban and the Afghan government are talking or starting to talk. Rod Norland, stay with us because we're going to talk to you more about this in just a moment.
Here at home, emergency crews have recovered two bodies from the wreckage of an Austin, Texas office building crashed into yesterday by a small plane. One is apparently the pilot, Joseph Stack, who had posted a long anti-government rant on the internet. Texas police are crediting citizens like Robin DeHaven for keeping the death toll down.
I had my work truck and I had ladders. I have 6.5 years military experience in combat. I spent 2 years in Iraq assumed I could help.
DeHaven used his ladder to pull at least six people out of the burning building.
Moving to the markets now, Asian and European markets are down. Futures are down as well. The Dow gets underway this morning at 10,392. The S&P opens at 1,106. And the Nasdaq opens at 2,241.
So we're going to be talking about sports movies for those who don't like sports movies. And our question for you today, are there movies that you thought you would hate, but you ended up loving them? Let us know at 8778-MY-TAKE. More on Marja in a moment.
You're listening to The Takeaway with John Hockenberry and Celeste Headlee.
Good morning. I'm Todd Zwillick, filling in for John Hockenberry this week. And, of course, I'm here with Celeste. Well, we're looking for some benchmarks in Afghanistan this morning. Today marks a week since the offensive in Marja began. Now, that included the capture of some senior Taliban leaders in Pakistan, as we just talked about. The U.S. and Afghan forces are facing remaining Taliban forces in Marja. That fight is apparently intensifying. And a week into the fighting, and with apparently some talks going on between the Taliban and Afghan government officials in the Maldives Islands, according to reports this week, the question is there any kind of endgame developing, or at least a reset of the chessboard to bring us up to speed on not only the fighting in Marja, but also what the larger picture looks like? We're joined back with us, Rob Nordland. He's foreign correspondent in Kabul for our partner, the New York Times. And also with us is Dr. Nadir Attash, a former Afghan government official and the author of Turbulence, The Tumultuous Journey of One Man's Quest for Change in Afghanistan. Thank you, gentlemen, both for joining us this morning.
Thank you.
Rob Nordland in Kabul, you mentioned at the top that the fight in Marja is far from decisive. Just to start off, would you bring us up to speed on what the latest is in clashes between Afghan and U.S. forces and the Taliban, and where we stand on the takeover of Marja?
Well, it's nearly a week now since the operation began, and they're still doing mopping up. They're still trying to find mines, and they still have scattered firefights and scattered resistance. So that's not over. And they say they are starting to do some civic works, like I think they said they had a couple schools in boxes that they rolled in. They're going to set up almost immediately. But that seems a little premature if there's still shooting going on, which they say there is. But overall, I mean, Marja was pretty small change, and the casualties were very slight, and I mean that's a good thing on the civilian side, but it certainly doesn't indicate that it was the kind of huge offensive that we thought it would be.
And meanwhile,
and it's pretty
go ahead.
Clear.
Go ahead, Rob.
Sorry, it's pretty clear that most of the Taliban just cleared out and didn't bother to stay in a fight. So they're still around somewhere.
And clearly living to fight another day, most likely. Well, that begs the question now, Rod Nordland, I want to ask you, because we had reports this week of talks, surprising talks going on between Taliban officials and Afghan government officials in the Maldives Islands, which suggests, I use the word endgame, but it suggests at least a contemplation of some form of endgame. How do we square a continuing fight in Marja and what you say is, you know, Taliban fighters living to fight another day and possible negotiations going on?
I don't think the one necessarily flows from the other. I mean, there have been talks at various levels between the Afghan government and the Taliban for quite some time. I mean, the UN representative in Kabul met with some senior Taliban leadership in Dubai. And in fact, there are some reports that one of the people they met in Dubai was Mullah Baradar, and that that if that's the case, you know, his arrest by the Pakistanis may actually not be a good thing for the peace process. Whoever takes his place may not be as willing to at least consider talks as he allegedly was. So it's very unclear now. And I don't really think the Maldives or whatever is happening in talks with the Taliban is a consequence of what's happening in Marja.
Okay, unconnected, says Rod Nordland. Dr. Nadir Attash, you're a former Afghan government official, and one of the things that Rod Nordland mentioned is going on in Marja now is the import of some schools in a box. General Stanley McChrystal has mentioned government in a box. Is this strategy the answer to U.S. and Afghan pacification of Marja, do you think?
I don't think so, because I don't think that there is a great deal of credibility to that assertion. If you read the reports from the locals, that assertion was met with sarcasm from the locals, because they said that we had heard the story before. I believe before the offensive of Marja, I think we should have worked on the real issues, job creation, a strong governance, rule of law, disruption, and then we, I think it would have been easier to capture Marja and other places that are under the insurgents' rule. And I believe the timing is suspect. And also, some people really question the motive of these negotiations, because is it to deflect attention from the real issues, or rather to achieve genuine peace in Afghanistan?
But Nadir Atash, does it at least fill a vacuum, at least in the short term, that might prevent the Taliban that Rod Nordland says are living to fight another day, prevent them from pouring right back in?
I think if you look at Marja, it's a pretty insignificant place, and I think there was no urgency to capture it right now. So, and there would be other Marjas. In fact, most now we see an increase in the insurgency in the northern parts of Afghanistan, which was pretty stable before. So I don't think that this kind of offensive as a strategy is going to work against a movement like Taliban and other insurgents who are non-Taliban in Afghanistan.
Rod Nordland, New York Times correspondent in Kabul. This is the first real offensive since the surge began, since Barack Obama's new strategy is at play in Afghanistan. Is there a difference in the way that the military is behaving in Marja, whether the city itself is insignificant? Is this a good, significant example of a new approach to the Afghanistan war?
Well, certainly they have a new approach, and in terms of the way they're fighting, they're doing a lot more to keep civilian casualties down, and they've succeeded in doing that. There's been only 15 confirmed cases of civilians killed in the last week. If you compare that to Fallujah, in the first week there were some 800 civilians killed. So certainly it's a different approach. Whether that's one that's going to make defeating the Taliban any quicker or easier is very much in doubt. And I agree with what your other guest said about Marja being a fairly insignificant place. There's been a huge amount of hoopla around it. It's the first big offensive since the Afghan surge in a new administration and so on. But at the end of the day, it's not terribly important. Even in Helmand, in terms of Helmand province, it's the last big populated place that the Taliban control. But controlling large population areas is not what an insurgency needs to do to stay alive. They still have, even in Helmand, three districts where they're still pretty much in control of the territory there.
Well, Rod,
and
Rod,
you just have to go.
Rod, that's okay, because I just want to point out that in Iraq, U.S. forces often said we were squeezing a balloon. We squeeze in one place and it belt bulges in another place. And Dr. Nadir Atash seems to think we're squeezing a balloon in Marja. Dr. Nadir Atash, former Afghan official, and Rod Nordland, New York Times correspondent in Kabul. Gentlemen, thank you both for joining us this morning. Now let's check in on some stories that we're following at 15 minutes past the hour.
More information on sharp spikes in healthcare premiums. This morning we're learning that premiums for Medicare Advantage, a popular group plan, jumped more than 14% this year. That's after an increase of only 5% in 2009. Health and Human Services Secretary Kathleen Sebelius says it's unclear why insurance companies are boosting premiums when they're making record profits.
The five largest insurers in America have declared more than $12 billion worth of profits in 2009.
Meanwhile, President Obama is ramping up his health care campaign. By Monday, he'll post his own health care proposals on the White House website. Toyota's president, Akio Toyoda, now says he will testify at a congressional hearing next week about the company's safety recalls. He says he looks forward to speaking directly to Americans and Congress.
In China this morning, some reports say cyber attacks on Google have been traced to computers at two educational institutions in the country, including one with close ties to the Chinese military. Investigators say the attackers were trying to steal trade secrets and emails from human rights activists. Staying with China, China says President Obama's decision to meet with the Dalai Lama has hurt relations between the two countries. The Tibetan spiritual leader says he spoke to the president about his three big commitments.
The promotion of human value in order to bring a peaceful world, a peaceful family, peaceful individual. I mentioned that.
That's a look at some of the stories we're watching this morning. Coming up, we're going to talk about the Olympics and a gold medal victory for American skater Evan Lysacek. More on that in a moment.
What's your take? Leave a comment at thetakeaway.org or call us toll free at 877-8-MY-TAKE.
869-8253. Thanks for listening to the Takeaway Podcast. If there's a story you think we should look at or a conversation you'd like us to start, drop us a line at 877-8-MY-TAKE or email us at mytake@thetakeaway.org.